Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah is divided into two simple parts: the reconstruction of the wall of Jerusalem and the restoration of God's people. In the third and last return of the Jews from their Babylonian captivity, an ordinary guy that sat in the pew, Nehemiah, led the construction efforts, or the reconstruction efforts, to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And under his leadership, everything in Israel was restored, except for the king. The king would come just a few centuries later. Amen right there. And we'll be talking more about that in just a few months. And of course, you know, probably under Ezra and his leadership, the spiritual restoration of the people came about. And I guess the lesson here for us this evening is, as Nehemiah rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem, or built the wall of Jerusalem, I want us to think about something tonight. Think about asking God to help you build something, or to rebuild something that has been broken down in your life. And Pastor, I think this is probably true with a lot of Christians. Ask God to help you build a devotional life.
Yeah, that's good.
I think a lot of times we are on autopilot. I think a lot of times we do things in the power of our own flesh. Yeah. Even though the Bible tells us it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so oftentimes I think we have neglected our devotional life. We read just enough Bible so we don't have a bad conscience and we can move on from the day and start our day. I want to challenge you to build a devotional life, to build a real prayer life, to build a time where you memorize God's Word, but not just recite words. I've done that too, brother, and it is almost meaningless unless we meditate on those words. Zephaniah 3:17, "For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Now that can be recited, or we can meditate on those words and meet with God, the God of heaven, the God who made us, the God who saved us. Amen. Think about what God wants you to build, or what God wants you to rebuild. I think if we look at Nehemiah's life, we can say that Nehemiah represents the Christian, and God wants every one of his children to build something.
Amen,
amen right there?
Good.
So think of that. Think about asking God, "God, what do you want me to build?" Now, whatever God speaks to your heart to build or to rebuild, listen, church, listen to me. The world and the flesh and the devil will want to defeat you. And we're going to look at some of that in our text this evening. In our text, there is a four-pronged attack by the Jews' enemies. Let's read about that. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's Word, Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 6. The Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, he was angry, he was in a rage, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of the captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for Pastor Pineda, all the great folks of Liberty Baptist Church, Lord, thank you for our special guest from Central Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Chadwick, all the great folks there, and all the work that they do for the cause of Christ, and how precious they are as friends to our hearts. Now, Father, tonight, as we open your word, Lord, it is a sacred time, yes, but God, we need you. God, we humble ourselves now, and we ask that you'll be in our midst, and not just show us great and mighty things, but help us do something with the word that we receive tonight. I pray, Father, that these words will not fall on deaf ears, that we just won't be hearers of the word, deceiving our own selves. God, help us to take something from thy word tonight, not only apply it, but do something to build something. Even now, God, help us to do something for thy honor and glory. We love you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. You may be seated. So Sanballat and Tobiah did not want the wall of Jerusalem rebuilt. You see, with the wall down, they could control the Jews forever. And as the wall went steadily higher, they became weaker and the Jews became stronger. The application is this. God is going to want you to build something for his honor and glory. I believe in this day and age, we're on autopilot. We enjoy so many blessings. We have so many things. We live a comfortable life, so we don't need to meet with God in the morning. We don't need that great of a prayer life. We don't need to be in the book that long. We don't need to memorize its pages. We don't need to meditate on God's word. But I want to challenge us to at least consider building a powerful devotional life. Watch the news. Don't you think we need to do that? Amen right there. Now listen, when we decide and God says, I want you to build or rebuild this aspect of your Christian life, the world and the flesh and the devil will want to defeat you. Because if you build that, the enemy becomes weaker. The less the enemy can control you. I don't know about you, but my flesh is very demanding. It wants its way 24/7. Yeah. Amen right there. Now, this is interesting. In our passage tonight, there are all these attacks that were leveled at the Jews. And the Jews didn't argue. I think that's interesting. They didn't protest and say, hey, wait a minute, that's not true. They didn't argue about it. They didn't disagree. They just kept on working and praying. They just kept on working and praying. And I think sometimes, Pastor, that's the best advice we could give ourselves. Let's just shut our mouths. Amen. Keep working and praying. Keep working and praying. Now, you've heard it said there are two sides to every story. I know this because I have more than one child. Amen. You see, big brother does something to little brother, and little brother, woo! So mom and dad investigate what's wrong. Little brother says, big brother did this to me! And so we do some investigating, and so little brother's got his side of the story, and then we do a little investigating. Amen? Big brother pounded little brother because little brother was provoking big brother to wrath. Oh, now we got the full story here. Or it's the other way around. Little brother was being a stinker, and he was provoking big brother to wrath, or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? Now, in our text this evening, there were some ugly truths staring the Jews in the face. But there was another side to the unpleasant reality staring the Jews in the face. And so whatever God wants you and I to build or rebuild, there may be some unpleasant realities staring you in the face. But church, before you quit, remember the other side of that unpleasant truth. Before you quit. By the way, don't say anything, but have you ever felt like quitting? Before you quit. Listen to these truths from God's Word. Number one, please write this down. before you quit, look at the other side of the unpleasant reality or truth staring you in the face. Number one, rely on God's strength. Rely on God's strength. Notice these words in verse number two. Verse number two says, notice this question, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? What is Sanballat saying? He's saying, you're feeble. You're weak. You're defenseless. You don't have an army to defend you. You don't have a wall to protect you. True. That was the unpleasant reality staring them in the face. They didn't have a wall to defend them. They didn't have strength or defense. But what's the other side of this unpleasant reality staring them in the face? It wasn't their strength that mattered. It was God's strength that mattered. Now, we won't go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and this is a wonderful story, but we won't turn there. But you know about David and Goliath. You know that story. You know that Saul couldn't defeat Goliath in his own strength. He was the king, but he couldn't do it. David's brothers couldn't defeat Goliath in their own strength. David couldn't defeat Goliath in his own strength. But David was able to defeat Goliath in God's strength.
Amen.
Amen right there. And that makes all the difference in the world. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we live in a culture, Pastor, especially men. Men feel like they have to. And I know the Bible says, quit ye like men and be strong. You know, behave like a man, be strong. I'm not saying that we should not do that. I'm just saying that men have a tendency to really want to project to the world how strong they are. And it becomes an idol. It becomes an addiction to prove to everybody how strong they are. Now, wait a minute, church. Wait a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verses 7 through 10. Paul said, and lest I should be exalted above measure. In the Greek, that means, unless I would think that I'm all that in a bag of chips. Amen. Unless I was to think that I am more saved than you. Amen right there. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above all measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, Jesus, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Notice, church, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my cancers, etc. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I am not believing those words that I just read. Wow. And then he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. Am I reading this right? Is this right? In distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Our weakness is not a bad thing. Amen. It's not a bad thing. Weakness, all of these things, is the open door for God, the opportunity for Him to step in with His strength and help you build your wall of Jerusalem. It's not popular in our culture. USA! USA! We're strong. You see what I'm saying? We don't think like God thinks.
That's right.
Our weakness is a good thing. It's the opportunity for God to show His strength. Listen, when God steps in, that's glorious. That's a wonderful thing. Amen right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let's bake in this truth here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 27. says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Oh, you think you're all that, huh? You're tough, you're strong, okay? God's like, step aside, sir. Step aside, man. I'm looking for the weak things. That's the truth. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter, we were just there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 4, I've got it right here. It says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. We also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. I want to live with the power of God flowing through me. But it means I have to humble myself and admit that I am truly weak. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 34. Let me tell you something. Weakness is not a bad thing. Some of the men are, I understand, but brother, weakness is not a bad thing. Hebrews 11, verse number 34, it says of the people of faith, listen to this, church. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Listen, you got to be strong if you're facing death by the sword. If you're facing death, don't you think you better be strong? Yeah. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Weakness is not a bad thing. A.W. Tozier said, the superior Christian, wow, listen to this, lets God strip him of everything that might serve as a secondary trust. Do you ever feel like quitting? Before you quit, rely on God's strength. Your weakness is his open door to step in and be strong and help you build the wall of Jerusalem. Number two, write this down, please. Rely on God's strength, obviously. Number two, write this down. Rely on God's grace. Back in Nehemiah chapter number 4, Sanballat says, will they sacrifice? What a question. Will they sacrifice? In other words, Sanballat is saying, oh, you're going to go to church now? Oh, you're going to get religious now? Oh, you're going to worship God now? You're wasting your time. Your sacrifices mean nothing. You're going to go to church. You're going to worship God. God's never going to forgive you because of what you've done. The temple was destroyed. The wall was destroyed. Jerusalem was burnt down to the ground because of your sin. Oh, now you're going to go to church? True. That was true. Jerusalem had been burnt down to the ground. The temple had been destroyed. The wall was broken down because of the sin of God's people. But, and that's the ugly truth, the ugly reality staring them in the face. But what's the other side of this unpleasant truth staring them in the face? Church, this is good. I'm going to have a fit right here. Here's the other side of that unpleasant truth staring them in the face, and it's this. God desires to pardon more than punish. Hey, you can get excited right there if you want to. God desires to pardon more than punish. That's why we're still breathing. Yeah, that's why we're still breathing. Because if God did not desire to pardon more than punish, we'd all be dead.
That's right.
Amen right there. God has never been obligated to give us mercy. There's a lot of people in the world I'd take out, Brother Enrique. Amen. But God hasn't seen fit to take them out. Why wouldn't God take this person out and take that person out? It is because God desires to pardon more than punish. Now stay with me. We're not going to go to Luke 15. By the way, one of the greatest messages I ever heard on the prodigal son was at Central Baptist Church in Amarillo, Dr. Gilman. Amazing. He's got like seven messages or something on the prodigal son. absolutely grand slam messages. Now, we're not going to turn there. Now, the prodigal son, interesting, and I can't do justice like, you know, great preachers like Brother Chadwick, Brother Gilman. But we can say this. Although the prodigal son was reckless, he was still a son. And a son is always going to go back to the father. Because at some point, that prodigal son or that prodigal daughter, they will come to their senses and they will say, wait a minute. I don't belong with the pigs. I do not have the nature of a pig. So I'm going to go back to my father. Amen right there. Now the father, if he had been some of us, amen. If he had been, if that boy ever comes back, I'm going to kill him. Amen right there. The father could have put the prodigal son to death, but he didn't. Why? Because the father desires to pardon more than punish. Psalm 103 verse 10 says, He, that is God, hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's the truth, and thank God it is. He would have taken me out a long time ago. Don't say amen, Murdoch family in the second row. Let's go to Micah chapter number 7. Let's back this up, church. This is so important. This is so important. Praise the Lord if you have never had a prodigal time in your life. But church, remember, there are other people around you that may be having a prodigal time in their life. Micah chapter 7, look at verses 18 and 19. Brother, this is so good, I'm just going to have a fit. Look at this. The prophet said, Who is a God like unto thee? Notice, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And the book of Revelation says, there won't be any more sea. They're gone. They're gone. Have you ever felt like quitting because of your failures? At some point in time, if we are connected to God in any way, there will be some guilt because of the things which we have done. And that's our conscience talking. Amen. We need our conscience to be alive, not seared with a hot iron. Amen. We should have a tender, sensitive conscience when we cross certain lines in our Christian life. But it is unproductive to continue to wallow in our failures and what we didn't or failed to do. You've got to remember, before you quit, rely on God's grace. The Father desires to pardon more than punish. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? And He will help you build your wall of Jerusalem. The third thought tonight, please write this down. Rely on God's strength. Rely on God's grace. Rely on God to stay steady. Rely on God to stay steady. Sanballat said in verse number 2, listen to this question. He said, Will they make an end in a day? What's he saying? Sanballat is saying, this project is too big for you. You're never going to finish it. You're going to quit, just like you quit building the temple. Well, that's true. The Jews had stopped building the temple. This was a big project. This was a project that was too big for them. But what is the other side to this unpleasant truth staring them in the face? It's this. The Jews didn't have to finish rebuilding the wall in a day. They just had to be faithful to do their best, amen, that day.
Amen.
Amen. Are you there? Are you with me? That's important. The key to finishing the wall was to just focus on that day. The key to finishing anything is to just be faithful that day. I think of the Bible Institute, Pastor, that you've gotten started. And I think of that one of your students came to me and said, "It's a lot of information, bro." Yeah. One day at a time. One day at a time. We won't go to the book of Genesis, but I love the story of Noah and the ark. It was a big boat. In fact, I heard that they built a life-size ark somewhere in Kentucky or something, right? If the Lord lays me on your heart, I'd like to go. So if you want to, you can buy tickets online. Amen. All right. But this Noah's ark was massive. Something like 3 stories tall. The total deck size was over 20 standard-sized basketball courts. It's a big boat. Amen. And I can imagine, let's speculate, people are watching this thing. He's never going to finish this thing. It's going to take him 100 years to finish this thing. About how long did it take him to finish the boat? Probably about 100 years. 100 years. 100 years. How in the world do you finish a project that's 100 years long? One day at a time. One day, and he finished, didn't he? And we read about it today, and we stand in awe. Someone said, success is longevity. Success is longevity. In other words, success is just simply mastering one day at a time. One day at a time. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 6, please. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, you know this scripture. Matthew 6, verse number 34. Now this is Jesus talking, amen. This is God Himself in the flesh. Listen to what He said. Jesus said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." Amen. "For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We have a tendency, at least I do, I'll just speak for me, I have a tendency to be overwhelmed. Pastor, you and I were already talking about events and things to put on the calendar for next year. And so, if I think about it too long, there's pressure. Wait a minute. We're not even in next year, let alone May of next year. Breathe, preacher. Breathe. It's going to be all right. Sufficient unto the day is the evil. Listen, church, before you quit, remember, just be faithful today.
Amen.
And God, I promise you, God will help you rebuild your wall of Jerusalem. The last thought and we're done. Rely on God to stay steady. Rely on God to stay supplied. Back to Nehemiah chapter number 4, verse number 2. Listen to this question. "Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" You know, Sam Ballard is saying, he says, you can't use these stones. They've been burned. True. A lot of those stones were made up of limestone. You heat up limestone, it softens the stone. And you can't use a soft stone. True, that's the unpleasant reality staring them in the face. But what is the other side of this unpleasant truth? We're not going to have the supplies to rebuild the wall. The other side to this unpleasant truth is that God always will give you and give me that which we need to build what He wants us to build. Chapter number 6 and verse number 15 says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. They built it, brother. They built it. That tells me that God sent in the supplies.
Yeah.
Let's go to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Wow, it's 8:45. Church, I'm sorry. Is it really? Oh, no, good. Okay, it's only... All right. Now you don't care if I go on for another 30, 40 minutes because you don't realize, you realize now it's not 8:45. Amen. All right. 1 Kings 17. Great story. Look at verse number 1 and following. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh, in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go, and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, And she, and he, and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. In the Hebrew, that means God supplies. Amen. God supplies. What a great scripture. I don't know if it's going to be a little woman, a little widow woman from Albuquerque, or if it's going to be ravens, but God will supply. A couple of these verses, it's really good. Psalm 23:1, of course you know, David said, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to lack anything. Philippians 4:19, My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Verse number 6. And we're done. Nehemiah. Come here, Nehemiah, where are you at? Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. Notice, church, for the people had a mind to work.
Amen.
It reminds me of the story of the football coach. He was trying to give his guys a pep talk. And he told him, he said, Now guys, listen. I want you to go out there, and yeah, I want you to do your best, but I want you to think of this when you go out there and play tonight. I want you to play as though it's the last game you might ever play. You may never, ever play football again. So every play, play like it's your last play. Like it's your very last play. Play as if it's your very last play. And he said, Let me hear it. The players looked at him. What's he want? What does he want us to? Last play! Play like it's your last play! And he said, let me hear it. And they said, last play. He said, let me hear it. Last play. Let me hear it. Last play. Last play. And they went out there and won the game. Now that was Nehemiah. Nehemiah had that spirit. He built that wall as if it was going to be the last thing he was ever going to do for God. And I think we need a little bit of that.
Amen.
Amen right there. We need to have that spirit. You know what? I'm going to build this thing that God has asked me to build, or I'm going to rebuild this area of my life that has been broken down, and I'm going to do it as if it's the last thing I'm ever going to do. Amen right there. Now, the devil may be creeping into your mind and throwing some unpleasant truths in your face. But before you quit, church, before you quit, rely on God's strength. Your weakness is His open door. Rely on God's grace. He will give you another chance. He desires to pardon more than punish. Rely on God to stay steady. Just take it one day at a time. Rely on God to stay supplied. I don't know how He does it, but He does. Family, are you listening to me? Rely on God to stay supplied, and you will build your wall of Jerusalem. Now, church, now's the time for our invitation. Now's the time. God has talked to us. Amen. God has talked to us in the book. Now it's time for us to talk to Him. And when Father talks, we don't just walk out the door. We respond. Would you ask God, God, or you may already know, what do you want me to rebuild? What can I help build? I can think of no greater church in the South Valley of Albuquerque to help build than Liberty Baptist Church. What is your role going to be to help build the wall of Jerusalem?